Now, today's message is called Stand Firm and Receive Your Blessing. Amen. Stand firm and receive your blessing. Quite often, just before people are about to receive the blessing, they give up. They turn back. They let go. They decide it's not going to happen. And at that, just at that moment, they were so close to receiving the blessing. Because what quite often happens is right before the blessing comes, there's a battle. Quite often there's a battle before the blessing. So we need to know that we need to stand strong and stay in that, stay in our journey with God and continue to move forward so that we can receive that blessing. God has already given that blessing to us. That blessing belongs to us. But for us to manifest it in our life, we have to stand firm in what we are believing and where we are moving and what we are doing and not give up and not turn back and not change our mind. We have to stay strong in the truth so that we can step into the blessing and receive it. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. God wants us to have that blessing. Yes. God has given that blessing to us already. But there are forces of darkness that try to stop us as we move forward into that journey of what God has planned for us. Something starts to come against us. There is tribulation that arises as you're on your journey towards blessing. Tribulation starts to come and starts to show up, and there's a battle that takes place, and everything starts to look very stressful, and right away it's easy for us to just throw our hands up in the air and let go of everything and leave it alone and say, okay, this isn't going to work. Okay, God doesn't want me to do this. Okay, I better go back because this seems a little too stressful. I'm just going to go back to my old comfortable space and stay over there. No, we don't. We want to stand firm, continue moving forward. Because God wants us to have the blessing. He has predestined us to have it. He has already given it to us. And for us to manifest it in our life, it requires us to stand. Stand strong. And just before the blessing comes, there's usually a battle. What should we do? We should start to celebrate. We should start to celebrate because we know if there's a battle happening, we're about to receive a blessing. Say amen to that. Oh, a battle's happening, huh? I'm about to receive a blessing. Praise God for that. Thank you, God, for this blessing I'm about to get. The bigger the battle, the bigger the blessing. Amen. Why? Because the resistance of the forces of darkness try to stop us from stepping into the light. They try to stop us from being who God has created us to be. If we're going to start shining light all over the place and healing the sick, and we're going to start bringing prosperity, and we're going to start changing this world to be what God created it to be, oh, that's going to wreak havoc on all that stuff that doesn't want it. And so tribulation tries to rise up against us. Now, how does it work? Because I want us to understand how it begins to take root in our life. If we understand how the battle works. Because remember, the forces of darkness have no power over you. They've got nothing. You've already won the victory. You are the victor. Say, I'm the victor.
I'm the victor.
You are the victor. The battle's already been won, or the war has already been won in Jesus' name. These little battles, what the forces of darkness know is that they have already lost. And so what do they got at their power? They got lies and they got illusions. And they're going to try to trick you. They're going to try to fool you by telling you something is not that is. They're going to try to tell you that you have lost when you have won. They're going to try to tell you it's black when it's white. They're going to try to tell you this is the wrong way when it's the right way. They're going to try to tell you, no, give up. You're so far away, you're never going to get there when you're just seconds away from receiving your blessing. See, they've got no power whatsoever except for illusions and lies. And we've got to understand that. Because as long as we don't understand that, we start to give them power that they don't have. They don't have any power. God's got all the power. We're the children of God and we're filled with the Spirit of God, which means we've got all the power in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. We've got all the power in Jesus' name. There is no power on the other side of this fight. The only fight that we're fighting is the good fight of faith. There is nothing else to battle out there. The battle is in here. And the battle that's taking place in here is that thoughts and illusions and emotions try to come in and trick us and tell us something that is not. It tries to turn us around and get us going in the wrong direction when we're moving in the right direction with God. And we've got to understand that. That we've got all the power, and that the only battle right now is of faith. A fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. So now, how does this tribulation start to come upon us? We begin to feel the pressure. We begin to feel, and it comes in the form of thoughts and emotions. Thoughts and emotions begin to grind on you. Thoughts start to come up. And what does it do? They try to divide you. They're going to try to divide you from your coworkers. They're going to try to divide you from your spouse. They got to separate. They're going to try to divide you from your spiritual community, your spiritual family. They're going to try to divide families. And they do that by beginning to put thoughts and emotions on you. They start pressing these thoughts and emotions in. And now you start to feel angry at some of your coworkers. You start to feel irritated with your spouse. Why are they not doing anything? You start thinking, why are they not doing what they're supposed to do? Why are they just sitting there? Why don't they do something? And you start to feel these thoughts and they start to get worked up inside of you. And now you start to feel the pressure, because the minute we start to act and allow these thoughts and emotions to work on us, now we're already buying into the illusion. And the minute we start to buy into that, now there becomes separation. Remember, the other side has no power unless we give it to them. If we begin to believe the falsities, now we start to create the separation. And that's the only power they have. If they can separate us from the love of God, which they can't do, but if they can create the illusion that you've been separated from God. And that's the thing, is once they've separated you from your family, if they've got you angry at that person in your family, if they got you angry at your spouse, now you're out there by yourself. Next they go after trying to separate you from God. They get you angry at God. Well, God is punishing me. Well, God is after me. Well, why is God doing all this bad stuff to me? Well, none of that is true, because God doesn't. God is a blesser. God is a lover. God gives. He wants you to be above. He wants to raise you up. He has a future and a hope for you. He wants you to receive the best. But if you begin to believe the lies and the illusions, now suddenly you're separated from God. Separated in your own mind, because you believe God is out to get you. You start to believe those thoughts and emotions that come, and you start to get angry at God. Well, what's next? Now you're separated from your family. You're separated from your spouse. You're separated from God. Now they begin to separate you from yourself. They start to work on you, and they get you grumbling about yourself. Oh, why are you so stupid? Oh, why don't you ever get things done? How come you're lazy? And all these thoughts start, now you start to have a divided mind, a double mind. We talked about this last time, being double-minded. Now you're separated against yourself. See, this is how the tribulation comes. We can't allow that to happen, though. We can't entertain thoughts, false thoughts and emotions. This is how we counteract it. How do we beat the forces of darkness? Do not entertain the thoughts of falsity whatsoever. Amen. We got to cast them out and rebuke them by all costs. Now I want to go down here and read a verse. Let me find it. Here, it's right here. Ah, here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul is writing, and he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Paul's talking about casting down thoughts. He is saying that when these kind of thoughts come in, and what kind of thoughts are these? These are thoughts and emotions that are not in alignment with the kingdom of God. If we know the word of God, if we're meditating on the word of God, we're being filled with his truth. And the reason we want to do that is so we really understand, what are the promises of God? What did God really say to me and about me and for me? And when we know that, When we know what God has said for me and what he has done for me and what he wants to do for me and what he wants me to have, and we know that from his words, when we know that very clearly, now when those other words come in and those other thoughts come in and those other emotions come in, we know these are not right. And what we have to do, what you have to do, is not entertain those thoughts or emotions even for a second. It's easy for them to start to sneak in, the thoughts, the wrong thoughts. Why is that person not doing what they're supposed to do? You start to entertain that thought. Now you start to feel agitated and angry at that person. I don't like them. They're always doing that all the time. And now you start to feel it getting worked up inside of you. Now the thoughts and the emotions begin to become actions. Now you start to act on it. You start to go over there and you tell them, why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? See, strife is being created. When tribulation comes, this is how it happens. Tribulation, strife begins to come in. The strife is, if we entertain it and let it stay there, Paul is saying, cast it down, don't allow it at all. And he is saying that because it's going to create strife, and strife will create division, and division will get you out there all by yourself, without your family, without your spouse, without your co-workers, without your spiritual family, without God. You won't even be in your own mind because you'll be double-minded. And now you're vulnerable to every illusion and every lie and every falsity because you have nothing to stand on and nothing to stand with. And it's easy to fall for anything when you're not believing for something. And God wants us to be standing strong and firm. That's what we need to do. Let me read what Paul said again. We can't be entertaining those thoughts. We can't entertain them for a minute. There's no room for us to allow ourselves to start getting irritated with somebody. There is no room for us to start to play around with those thoughts in our mind. There's something wrong with that person. If it's your spouse, they will start to try to work you against your spouse. They will tell you they're lazy. They'll tell you they're not doing what they're supposed to. They'll tell you they don't love you anymore. They'll start making you feel jealous. Oh, they're talking to that other guy over there. They're talking to the other woman. You'll start to feel the jealousy come in. You'll start to get all worked up. And if you let yourself entertain it, now the tribulation and the turmoil starts to work away on you. And you've opened the door to something that has no power over you. It has no power until you've opened the door by entertaining those thoughts and emotions. And now they come in and they begin to create all kinds of bad feelings and all kinds of problems, and suddenly your relationship's in trouble and you don't know what happened, and it all started from you entertaining those thoughts. That's how it works, time and time again. There is no room for gossiping. There is no room for gossiping and talking behind somebody's back. They're in the kingdom of God. If we are of the kingdom of God, we want to continue to encourage and help and support and be a blessing. And we don't want to get caught up in anything else. And I'm telling you that not because there was somebody that I'm pointing out here today. I'm saying because I want you to know how those forces work, those forces of darkness. That's how they come in. They come in as a little emotion. It can be very subtle at first, you know, just you're a little bit irritated with them, just a little bit annoyed, and you play with that, and you start to get angry, and then it gets a little stronger, and now they come in with a little bit more strength, and now you start to get really furious. It starts like that. We don't want to entertain it at all. See, Paul is talking about, he's not talking about talking to someone else. He's saying within ourselves, we have to cast this down. It has no power over us. The forces of darkness have no power over us. We've been given the power. We have the victory in Jesus' name over everything. And listen to what he says again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Have you ever noticed if you do start to entertain those thoughts and those emotions, and you start to get irritated with someone, quite often you start having an argument in your head. Have you noticed that? You start coming up with really good points. Here's what I would say to them. If I said this to them, they'd have no comeback. Zing, I got them. You know, right? Do you have that? You know, if you start entertaining, pretty soon you're arguing in your own head. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get them. Oh, I'm going to say this to them. They will never have a comeback for that. He's saying we got to cast down those arguments. Don't even let it get that far. We got to cast it down because that's the only power they got over us is lies and illusions. We can start to believe those lies about that other person who's been working with us. If it's your spouse, they've been working with you to create a good life with God. If it's your spiritual family here in Golden Heart, they've been working together to help you to have a great life with God. If it's your co-workers, you've been working together on a plan or a mission, you know, a purpose or some goal you've been working towards. You know, if it's your family, you're working together. Quite often, though, strife can come in and get us all worked up against one another where we're fighting. Quite often, if you look back at what started, most people can't even remember what originally started it. And if you really start to examine it, it seems so small. How did it become so big? How did this feud or this fight or this conflict or this argument become so big? Because it's based on nothing. That's why you can't find a real root cause for it. It was based on nothing. But now, because you were close to your blessing, because you were about to step into your time of blessing, you were so close, those forces had to do something to stop you. And they've got no power, so they had to try to trick you. We don't fall for that trick. Say, I don't fall for that trick. I don't fall for that trick. How do we not fall for that trick? Well, God's made it very clear. Now, I want to read a couple of things here because what I'm talking about dividing, you know, that the way it works is they try to divide you. They divide spouse against, you know, against spouse. They divide family members. They divide spiritual family. And listen to what Jesus says about that. He says, a house divided against itself will not stand. He gives us a clue there. Jesus, when he's talking, gives us a clue that if we get divided against, we're not going to stand. Well, I'm telling you to stand firm. I'm telling you, if you want to receive the blessings of God, stand firm in the truth. Fight the good fight of faith, which means stand on the promises of God. It requires us to stand. And yet he's saying, if we get divided, the house will not stand. I'm talking about the relationship house. I'm talking about the family house. I'm talking about the spiritual house. I'm talking about the work house. None of those things can stand if we let that influence come in there, because it divides. That strife will divide, and that's the only way that it can work. It has to divide us, because once divided, the house can't stand. So we know right now, how do we not? Don't entertain those thoughts. Cast down those arguments. Rebuke those emotions. Don't believe lies. Don't believe the falsities. Because if we do, we let it grow. It gets too big now, and it divides us, and then everything falls apart. Now, we have to know that the people are working, the people that we're with are working in alignment with God. God doesn't say that you're partners with everybody. He doesn't say that we should be, you know, working or that we're working with everybody. Everybody that's working with God is working with you. Everybody's working. And here's how Jesus describes that. He describes that here in Matthew chapter 12. And so, well, it says here, well, he was still talking to the multitude. Behold, his mother and brother stood outside, seeking to speak to him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brother are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who is my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." He warns us not to throw our pearls before swine. That means he's not saying partner with everybody and take the blessing of God everywhere. Everybody is entitled to it if they want to receive it. He didn't exclude anybody. But at the same time, he's saying if they don't respect it, don't go putting all that energy and that time in there. How do we know who we're partnered with? Who do we know? How do we know we're aligned? Who are we aligned with? As he said here, who are your mothers and your brothers and your sisters? It's those that are doing the works of God. That's who you're working with. That's who you're working together with. You see, you can't be aligned with somebody. If you're working and doing the works of God and somebody's out there serving themselves, that's contradictory. If you're out there trying to be a blessing and they're out there gossiping and cursing people, that can't work together, you see? You're on different pages. Now, I will say there are people out there doing the works of God who don't even acknowledge God. They're trying to do their best and they might be running from God or don't know of God. And I can tell you, I was one of those people at one time. I was an atheist. And I wouldn't acknowledge God. I wouldn't say, oh yeah, there's a God. I didn't admit it because I didn't believe there was. But at the same time, when I look back at that part of my life, I realize even though I wasn't acknowledging God, God was using me. He was using me to help heal people, to change people's lives. And I could see that even though I wasn't acknowledging Him, I was a part of His plan. And I was working in alignment with His plan to help others who were believing. You know, so you can see that. But still, we want to know those that are doing the works of God. So you might have people that are not formally coming to church or formally acknowledging God, but you might be able to see the fruits of their labor and you'll know this person is doing work that's in alignment with God's plan. And you'll know that's one of my brothers and my sisters. I could work in alignment with them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, so we talked about dividing. We talked about the tribulation and the battle that comes before the blessing. And I'm telling you to stand firm. I'm saying don't let yourself entertain the thoughts. Don't let yourself entertain those emotions so that you're not divided, so that you remain, you know, together. Now, how do we do that? Jesus talks about it quite a bit. It talks about it quite a bit in the Bible. It says that a man should leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and they should become one flesh. One flesh, meaning they got one mind. Jesus talked about how the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. They're one. This is the principle of God and how it works. He said a house divided cannot stand. But here he keeps talking about what he wants for us is for us to be one. One with God, one with your spouse. And let me read this part here in Acts. In Acts, and this is after Jesus was resurrected, the disciples have been hanging out for a little while because they're not sure where to go or what to do yet. They're waiting. And here on the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there were to them divided tongues as of fire, and on one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want to point out this first part that I read. They were of one accord in one place. How do we get the Spirit of God moving upon us? We come into one accord. We get into unison with one another. See, God, it's all about the power of God's love. What did God tell us to do? He said, love God, love your neighbor. And if you're loving, love is a unifying factor. It doesn't divide. Why? Because the kingdom of God, our strength, is in being one. It is in that unity where we are one with God. The Spirit of God is inside of us. We are in the Spirit of God. We are one with Him. We are in His kingdom and He's in us. So we're one. Same with our partner, our spouse. We become one flesh. And when we can come together as one accord, and how do we do that? We do that by speaking the words of love, speaking the words of encouragement, not letting the falsities and the darkness bring in these other gossiping and talking and thoughts and all that stuff. No, cast that down. But then what you can do is you can begin to let the words of love, which encourages other people, it blesses other people, it creates unity in your life, and it creates unity in your family, it creates unity in your relationship, and you just have to keep rebuking those other thoughts and keep letting the thoughts of love. Let the Spirit of God inside, let the thoughts of love begin to rise up, and that will create the unity and the strength that you need to be transformed. That's why the principles of God are always about being in one accord. When did the power of God begin to move on the disciples? Up till that point, the disciples, they had done some works under Jesus. But when Jesus resurrected, they had done no works of their own yet. Nothing had happened. They were just sitting around. These guys had 3 years of training. They saw all these miracles and all these wonders, and yet they've done nothing yet. They've just been sitting there. And even remember now, they come into one accord. They finally get their minds aligned, their hearts aligned. They're all now seeing the same vision. They now have all the same plan. They're in harmony, is another way to say it. Think of an orchestra. If it's in harmony, it creates beautiful music. If every musician is just playing whatever they want to play, it gets a little bit chaotic. They come into one accord. They're in harmony. And now at that moment, the power of the Spirit of God comes down upon them and begins to work through them. Throughout the book of Acts, you can read about it saying they were in one accord. They healed the sick. They were in one accord. They transformed these people. They were in one accord. Many people were baptized and believed. They were in one accord. See, the power of God is working when we're united. Say amen to that.
Amen.
The power of God is working in your life when you're united. That's why we don't want you to be double-minded, because the power of God goes to work in you when you have that single-minded purpose and you're focused on the dream that God has put in your heart and you're seeing where you're going, the life that God created for you. You're one mind. You've got all that power. Now the Spirit of God begins to work in you to make that happen. Same in your relationship. When you got a man and a woman and they're allowing the love of God to flow up in them, it starts to create that one flesh. And now when they've got that unity going so strong and they're now got the same vision and the love of God begins to flow powerfully, what happens? They're united. The Spirit of God begins to move upon them because they're of one accord. Same thing in a spiritual family. When we're all focused on the same vision, and what do I have you guys focusing on now every week? That miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow us every single day.
Amen.
Right? Say amen to that. When every single one of us are seeing and believing that with all of our hearts and all of our minds, then what's going to happen? We're going to have miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere we go all the time.
Amen.
And blessing will follow you. It'll pursue you. It'll chase you. You won't be able to get away from the blessing. It'll be pursuing you so strongly. That's how God works. See, and that's the thing is, when we can come into one accord where each of you has that vision clearly, we all see in the same vision, and we're in one accord, now the Spirit of God begins to move upon us. Now the Spirit of God begins to move upon us, and miracles begin to happen through us. We all need to be in one accord. That means we can't be allowing little things to come in and say, oh, that Ted, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, this little voice, get out of there. He's working with God, and I'm with him. I'm with you. And that's what we need to reiterate. See, when this tries to come in, and sometimes this happens. I've noticed this. Liza and me have been talking about this recently in our relationship. A little voice begins to talk to me. Oh, she's irritating you. Like, yeah, she is irritating me. You know, you start getting worked up. Oh, man, why is she irritating me? And then you start to think, have the presence of mind, wait a minute, what is she doing that's irritating me? Nothing. Well, I'm not irritated by her. I'm fine with it. No, I love my wife. And so this is what I've been saying recently. When those little voices try to come in, I'm like, nope, I love my wife. My wife loves me. We're unified and we're of one accord. And I've been saying that also with my spiritual family here. Sometimes a little voice will come in. Oh, they're not following the program. I'm like, no, no. I love them. They love me. We're unified. We're of one accord.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
The principles of God, He needs us to be of one accord. We're one with Him. We're one flesh with our spouse. We're of one accord in our spiritual community. When everything is like that and we understand, we're not dividing ourselves. See, the minute we start to entertain these thoughts that come up in strife, they start to create division. The minute we have division, the house is going to fall. That's the only way the house can fall, is if we let that strife come in, and then the strife creates the division. Division can't come in otherwise, though. If we're caught up in the Word of God, what is He saying? He's saying, we're of one accord. I'm going to agree with Him. We're of one accord. This relationship, we're of one accord. These friends, we're of one accord. These co-workers, we're of one accord. We're all focused on the same thing. Our minds are set on this. We're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders.
Amen.
We're set on that. So on whatever we do, now the more we can join together like that, the power of God works in a greater and greater way in our lives. It's always going to work that way. In Genesis 2:24, this word talks about a man and a woman. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined with his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the will of God. Jesus said in chapter 16, this is verse 12. He says, the words that I speak, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So he's saying we're in one. So he's saying we're one right there. As I already read, the disciples, when they were of one accord, that's when the Spirit of God began to move upon them. Now listen to this, because I talked about being divided from God, but I like what Paul says here, because again, you can't be separated from God. And what God has put together, let no man separate. Talked about the relationship, right? So we can't be separated from God. That's, remember I said, the only power they got is the lies and illusions. The illusion that we're separated is what they've got. Now here's what Paul says. This is in Romans 8. If you did your homework, you would have read this. And verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we cannot be separated. Paul is saying, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And nothing can separate us from our partner. And nothing can separate us from our family. And nothing can separate us from our spiritual family. Nothing can separate us unless we let the illusions lie to us and say they can. Because they can't. So we cannot be separated from God. We are one with God. So here's what to do. Stand and be firm in that blessing. So stand firm and receive your blessing. How are we going to receive that blessing? We're going to stand firm in unity. We're going to stand firm in one accord. We're going to stand firm with your spouse. You're going to stand firm with your family. You're going to stand firm with your spiritual community. You're going to stand firm with God. You're going to stand firm in your own mind. You're going to be single-minded and focused on where God is taking you. So you're going to stand firm and receive the blessing. Any thoughts that try to come in, you're going to cast them down. If there's anything that's opposed or different from God, you're not going to put up with it. You're not going to let those arguments be there even for a minute. You will rebuke them and cast them down immediately and go right back to where God wants us to be in one accord, in the spirit of love. Letting that spirit of love be upon you so that you can be unified. And now you can receive the blessing, and the blessing of God will be upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.